son, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. Now, my Aunt Kathy used to say this to me all the time, and it is so truthful. People in glass houses should not throw stones. People in glass houses should not throw stones. Here's what I've learned in the people business. I've been in the people business for 37 years, and here's what I know. You will never help anyone unless you can love them first. You will never really truly help anyone with your judgment, with your talking down to them, with your being mean to them because they're not doing what you want them to do or what you think that they should be doing. If you really want to do something for God, try loving people. When you want to think that you know all about them and their scandalous selves, realize that you don't know even half of what you think that you know about that person that you're judging. Now, I know this is not a popular message, but it's a message that darn sure needs to be preached in every church in this county, in every church in the community, in every church in America. This needs to be preached. What would the world be if we would stop judging people? People are just straight up mean. Straight up mean. And unfortunately, some of the meanest people that I know claim to be Christians, and that to me is awful. Like, gosh, Pastor Kelly, you're really a downer. Well, I know. It's not great. Melissa, is it? How many of you have ever been judged? How did that feel to you? How many of you have ever been judged harshly? How many of you have ever been judged wrongly? Now, how many of you have done that to others? There we go. We've got to keep this real. Because when you can keep it real, you can do something about it. When you can keep it real, you can do something about it. If you're offended in here, check yourself because really you're probably convicted. If you're on your couch right now and you're thinking, I'm flipping that channel, you may just want to keep it on this channel because God might just deal with you so much you feel convicted about judging folks. Amen? So it says here, and again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And in verse 9, at this, those who heard began to go away one at a time. Look here, when Jesus defends you, see, some of you, you've been judged here very harshly. People have judged you. People have talked about you. People have hurt you with their judgments. Some of us, we've hurt others with our judgments. See, we've done things cornered around judging, and it's not right. It's not right to be judged, and it's not right for us to judge others because we don't know what people are going through. But when Christ defends you, and make no mistake, he defended you when he was on the cross. When he defends you, there is nobody going to be able to stand there the whole time and attest to him. What did he do for her? He bent down and he began to defend her. And one by one, they left. One by one, they left. And it says, the older ones first. The older ones first. Some people have been saved for a long time, and they act like they just got saved. I was saved when I was 7 years old. I'm 37. I've been saved for 30 years. That makes me feel old. The older ones left first. You know what? I like to think that some of the people that have been saved the longest are the worst ones of us all. May we never forget the nasty, disgusting pit that God yanked us out of. Because the moment that we forget that, we lose touch with how to be effective in loving other people. How many of you can remember some nasty, disgusting things you did? Amen. Do you remember the gracious, merciful hand of God that took you out of that mess and put you on a high place and said, I don't care what you did. I'm here to love you past what you did. See, if we could imitate Christ, these are the ABCs of Christianity. This is like going to preschool for Jesus. Okay? And this is like ABC, 1, 2, 3, see? And we got these little nursery rhymes. And people that have been saved for a long time, they still ain't got this right because we're still judging people. That is sin. That is not right. I've done it. I've probably done it this week. And I'm here to tell you that is not right. And we have got to check ourselves. Because how many of you got family that you'd like to see in heaven? How many of you got people that you would like to see in heaven? See, they're not going to get there with our judgmental nonsense. They're going to get there by us loving them. How many of you have ever been in a depression so bad you didn't feel like you was ever going to get out of it? Amen. I've been there. If it was not for the gracious hand of God to say, Kelly, this is going to be okay. It doesn't matter what people are saying about you. It doesn't matter what people are thinking about you. See, why can't we imitate the very simplest things of Christ? Why can't we do that? We're human, and we've got to be able to come to that place where we can say, you know what, instead of judging this person, I'm going to try something new and I'm going to just love them. And if I talk about them, it's going to be between God and I. And I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to intercede for that person. And it says that this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, and the older ones first, until only Jesus was left. Look here, let me tell you something. In your worst of the worst, in your nastiest, deepest sins, in the most judgmental things that you've ever had said about you or that you've ever said about another person, at the end of this life, at the end of your sin, at the end of your trial, you know what's left? You and Jesus. You and Jesus. Who is here with this lady? Until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. I pray that every blood-bought child of God has a moment where they realize that at the end of the day, it's them and God right there, and that's it. See, we don't have any business judging others. More and more I get alone and I say, Lord, let's get alone and let's have a conversation. God, if there's any offensive thing inside of me, inside of my life, God, help me to self-examine myself, and God, help me to make it right. And you know, where I was quick to want to hear something terrible about others and judge them, I've become not so quick at it because you know what I realized? People are just full of it. Have you matured enough to realize that? I have. I have. Jesus straightened up and asked her, Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? What was Jesus trying to do? He was trying to get people to stop judging her. He was trying to get people to stop condemning her. Why? Because condemnation never did anything good for nobody. Will God convict you? Yes, he will. But will he condemn you? Never. He said, where is she? Where is everybody that had something bad to say about you? Where are all the Pharisees that brought you here to me? They're all gone. No one, sir, she said. Then neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Go now and leave your life of sin. You want to pray something for someone? Say, God, only you know what's going on with that person, but Lord, help them leave their life of sin if they're sinning. And God, more importantly, help me leave my sin too. Amen? A few years back, I was praying for somebody. And I'm always trying to figure out how to pray the most intelligent prayers that are going to get answered. How about y'all? I am. And I said, God, I think where this person is going wrong is they desire all the wrong things. That's their problem. So I started praying. God changed their desires. And Tierney, I was really getting down with it. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit came to me. He said, Kelly, what about your desires? Some of them are really messed up. Well, Lord, that's true. So I stopped praying about that, and I went to praying about myself. See, there's a place in judgment where we like to hear things about other people, and we like to say things about other people. That should not be. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to look at verse 1 through 5. And it says this, do not judge, or you too will be judged. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way, everybody say, same way.
Same way.
Same way. How many of y'all have a measuring cup in your kitchen cabinet someplace? I want you to picture your measuring cup right now. I've got several because I lose them all the time. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use it. And with the measure that you use it, it will be measured to you. So guess what? If you're over here baking in life, and you've got all your ingredients, maybe you're a great churchgoer, but you're not a great Christian, right? You're over here and you're baking all sorts of stuff in your life. And you want to have one cup of being judgmental, and you want to pour it into your life, and you want to pour that in. Look here, whatever a man sows, he's going to reap. If you measured, per se, one cup of a judgmental thing on somebody, guess what you're going to get? You're going to get a cup of it plopped in your lap. How many cups do you want? That's what we have to really look at in our life. How much judgment do you want coming back at you? Probably a year ago, I was in another town, and I sat down, and I'm a people watcher, and I watch people, and I have a hard time going anywhere where somebody doesn't know me. I walked into a place the other day, and I said, I'm Pastor Kelly, and they're like, oh, we know who you are. I'm like, that is so creepy that people, so many people know me, but I don't know them. It's just creepy. And so I was eating, and I looked over at this family, and their son had just gotten, their older son had just gotten into a lot of trouble. And I can say that if I had a son that had gotten in that trouble, there would be an amount of shame that I would feel. And I looked over at these parents, and I could see it all over their face. And what it was is they felt judged. They felt ashamed. They felt dirty. They felt embarrassed. They felt all those things. You know what? That wasn't their fault. It wasn't their fault what happened. I sat there and I was eating spaghetti and I said, Lord God, in Jesus' name, please help that family. Lord, every tongue that is talking bad about their family, God, I ask that you'd shut them up. Because until you've had your family talked about, until you've had your loved ones talked about, your kids, maybe you, maybe whatever. See, that's not pleasant for anybody. And for us to do that, for Christians to do it, to humanity, to be judging other people. I wanted to go over there and scoop that mama up because you know what? I know what it feels like to be talked about. And you didn't do whatever you did, whatever they said. I get it. with the same measure that we judge people. That's coming back. It's coming right back in our lap. And it says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? And you know what that's really saying in today's terms? Why are you looking at the little smidge of dust in your brother's eye when you've got the national forest up in your own? I almost made shirts with the forest. And then I didn't think anybody would get that quite as well as I did. We're going to stop for a minute, and we're going to give some shirts away. All of our shirts are about judging people today. Why? Because I want you to be a walking, living testimony for people to read on your shirt. Do not be a judgmental hypocrite. And if I could have got away with saying that on a t-shirt, I would have. Miss Rita. Here you go, Miss Rita.
You.
I'm going to do one more here. Johnny L. Or Johnny. Guess what? You get to mess your wife. I'm going to try to get you a manly one going on. I figured you'd like blue better than purple. You're welcome. Now, who likes strawberries? Miss Deborah. Deborah, I hope you like chocolate.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Amen, Brother Sam. Miss Angel. What are we talking today about judging people? We're talking about judging. Now, this message is not going to score me any brownie points. You know why? Because I bet nobody else that's preaching today, they're probably not putting it right up in your lap about judging folks. Guess what? My dad used to say, if you're out there flinging the F word and if you're being awful, do not say you go to Paris Christian Center. Okay? Let me tell you something. Here's how I feel. If you're out there judging people and being ugly, please don't tell them you go here. I mean it. Because you know what? This place, Lord help Brother Charlie. Help him to cough that up. People need to be able to come to church, Miss Rocky, and they need to love it. And you know what? Isn't life hard? People need to be able to come to church and be like, you know what? That's the one place that I can go where I don't feel like anybody's judging me. The one place I can go where I don't have to fake what I'm going through. You know what? If you're a mess, come up in here and sit and be a mess in here. Amen? Let me tell you, I listened back to some of my messages the first year that I pastored, and I was mad the entire time. I don't know how anybody stayed through that, but you did. Thank you. I don't even sound like the same pastor, but let me tell you something, Tina. I was hurting so bad inside that I was angry the whole first year of my pastorhood. Look at me now. I'm still a mess. But by golly, I'm a little bit less judgmental than when I started. Let me tell you something. Life is too good to spew out judgment on other people. If you will love people, see them past, you know what, everybody that's doing something, look here, nothing gets past God. Amen. Have you lived long enough to see that? We have our hands full with ourselves. So let's deal with ourselves first. Miss Tina. There you go, sweetie. You're welcome. Aren't y'all loving these judgmental t-shirts? It's a said, God, I'm so passionate about this judgmental message. I'm going to make like 13 shirts up because I want everybody in town to get the point. Stop judging people. If you're listening on Facebook, stop judging people. Go to loving them. Amen? So it says, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when all the time, everybody say all the time, there is a plank in your own eye. You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you can see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Look here. Then you'll be able to see clearly. Why shouldn't you judge? Because you'll never be able to do it accurately. Why shouldn't you judge people? Because you'll never be able to do it accurately. Why? Because you've got stuff in your own life that when you're looking at someone else, you can't even see clearly to judge them accurately, and nobody can but the living God. That's why we shouldn't be judging people. We don't know what people are doing to the full extent. We don't know what's going on with them, but what we do know is what we've got going on in our own life. There's many times where somebody's called me, oh, do you want to hear such and such about something? No. Now, the old Kelly, I'd have been like, heck yeah. I want to hear that. I want all the details. Now I'm like, people are like, Pastor Kelly, I really feel like I need to tell you this about my life. Now, do you really need to tell me? Have you told it to God first? Really feel like you need to tell me, okay. Now, I'm not a Catholic priest and I have a Catholic husband, but I don't hear people's confessions. Why? Because, man, I have to confess my own stuff just about 24/7. And what I realize, Melissa, now more than ever before, there isn't really anybody I want to be judging. How many of you ever judged somebody and then you started thinking about it and you're like, man, I've done that before. Or I'm doing that right now. Matter of fact, it's amazing how many people will judge others when they are doing the exact same thing, if not worse. Why are we talking about this today? Because you know what? I'll either clear everybody out by offending the heck out of them or we'll get it right. But we're going to do one or the two. And if you're offended in here, get over it. We said we was going to keep it real today. If you're visiting today and this is your first message, look here. It gets better. Let's go to Romans chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 1 through 4. You, therefore, have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. Did y'all catch that? I'm going to read it one more time. You know what Christians give God more than they give him anything else? Do you know? I'm going to read that one more time, and we're going to see if we can get this answer correct. Isn't that a good teacher statement? I substituted a few times, and I realized that was not quite my calling. You, therefore, have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. What do we give God more of than probably anything else? Excuses. That's right. Excuses. Excuses. We don't have an excuse. For at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself. How many of you want to live a condemned life? None of us, right? Okay. How many of you want to live a blessed life? Amen. For at whatever point you judge the other. See, at whatever point. You know how much of a detailed God that we have? He is a God of detail. That's how he set the world into existence. That's how he numbered the days. That's how he set the ocean. That's how he set the stars, detail by detail. And that's why he says in his word, for at whatever point. See, God knows the exact point in which you've judged. He knows the exact point. And he says, for at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself. Because, see, God always has a reason in his word. Because you who pass judgment do the same things. We do the same things. We do the same things that we want to judge other people about. Well, it's not as bad. My stuff's not as bad. Every person has a reason why their nonsense isn't as bad as someone else's. Guess what? It's all nonsense. Now, we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. See, when God judges, he'll judge on truth. Why can we not be judgmental? Because we don't know the full truth. We don't know the full truth. I asked somebody the other day, somebody's wanting to tell me something bad about people. Well, and I asked them, how do you know that what you're repeating is the truth? Well, I don't know. Well, okay. We don't know. We don't know the truth about everybody and everything. We're not up in their house living with them, in there with them day in and day out. We don't need to judge people. We need to love them. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? See, nobody's escaping God's judgment. Nobody's escaping that. Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you to reward repentance? See, I can remember back in a time where I was in sin. Can you remember a season of your life where you were sinning? Three people. God help me. God? What kind of people you got up in here today, Lord? We ask that one more time. How many of you can remember a season in your life where you were sinning? You were in active sin, perpetual, consistent sin, and you liked it. Praise God. We got some honesty milked out of people. Okay. I remember being saved. I remember feeling like I was a dirty, rotten scoundrel, and I remember him loving me. I remember the day he said, Kelly, I forgive you for what you did. I remember the day I asked forgiveness for it, and he stopped talking about it to me. What is the goal in being a better believer? Stop judging people. It's not healthy for you, and it's not healthy for your salvation. It's not healthy for that other person. So many Christians think that they're helping other people by being that way. You're not helping them. You are pushing them away closer to their sin. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 9. And I'm going to read this out of the Amplified Version today. And it says, he who covers and forgives an offense seeks love. What are you seeking today? He who covers and forgives. He who covers and forgives. I remember one day about 2 years ago, I was in a parking spot at Walmart. And I don't know about y'all, but these days I have to make a list. Because I will go in there and not get anything that I actually needed and spend at least $100 with everything I don't need and walk out with forgetting the thing that I needed. So I was making my list out. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw this little chick that I just dearly, dearly loved. And I had heard some stuff about her that wasn't real great. And I kind of felt like I had seen her a couple times and she was avoiding me. You know, people avoid me just because of what I am, a pastor. I'll be standing in Walmart in the line and people will get me, they'll get behind me in the line and then I'll turn around and bam, they're gone. They will go to the longest line just to not be behind me. I wish they'd get out and let me in the front of the line. That would be great. But people will like spread out when I get in the Walmart in the lines. Why? Because they're like, oh my God, if she starts asking where I've been, Look here, if you see me up in Walmart, I ain't going to ask you nothing because I would like to be a person and just go up into Walmart and get something. Amen. I don't want a 7-hour confessional in the toilet paper aisle. I want to get that Charmin and I want to go. I probably want to go eat something if all honesty is being displayed here. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw her, and the moment she saw me, she just turned and went the opposite direction. And I said, hey, and I called her name. I said, come over here. And she looked like a little puppy with her tail in between her legs, and she started crying. I said, what's going on? She said, what you heard about me is probably true. I did all those things, and I have felt, she goes, I have woke up in the middle of the night and felt like you were going to be mad at me for what I did because you're a pastor. I said, give me your hand. I put my hand over hers, and I said, in Jesus' name, all of this condemnation come off of her in Jesus' name. Because let me tell you something. You know what I was able to tell her, Miss Dale? I said, man, I don't care if every bit of that was true. I love you. I don't love you because you're perfect. God doesn't love you because you're perfect. All I could see was relief. You know what? Saw her a while after that, and she goes, I knew what I did was wrong. You were the one person that just told me that you loved me despite all the stuff I did. May we be the one. May we be the one. Might have changed her life. You know what? It might have changed a lot of things for her. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 9. He who covers and forgives an offense seeks love, but he who repeats or gossips about a matter separates. See, your judgment is separating. It's causing division. Gossip. It's separating intimate friends. Are you seeking love today or are you seeking judgment? What are we seeking? What are we seeking? If this seems like a very simple-minded message to you, that means that you've gotten past this kind of stuff. Very few people have. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And we're going to look at verse 20 through 22. There is not a righteous man on earth who does what is right and never sins. There is not one. I'm not one. Brother Angelo ain't one. Brother Charlie ain't one. None of us. There's not a righteous enough person on this planet with breath in their lungs that's never sinned and messed up. Amen? So when we see other people and they're messing up, what do we do with them? You know what we do? We do the same thing that Christ did with us when we've messed up in the past. What did he do? He showed them mercy. He forgave them as far as the east is from the west. See, yeah, this is a very simple message, but yet people have a hard time with it because there's something wrong in humanity, and it's the thing that we want to judge people for probably the same things we're still actively doing. One of the people that I really look up to is Joyce Meyer. Has anybody ever heard of Joyce Meyer? Now, this is also not going to catch me any brownie points because I'm sure there's going to be a religious person that's going to hear this and you're going to think I'm the devil. Well, take a number. At the time that she preached this message, this just makes me laugh. I said, Frank, save this. We try to watch her every day. I need as much of Jesus as I can get up into this self. She said, everybody wants to talk about everybody, and they want to start judging people that have tattoos. What a stupid thing to judge people about. I know whole denominations that want to tell people they're going to hell for smoking cigarettes. Give me a break. Dad, I don't know if they're going to all quit the church after this or not, but
they're loving it.
I mean, I'm not going to condemn your soul to hell for smoking a cigarette. Now, wherever you're going, you may get there quicker. But give me a break. So Joyce, she's like in her 80s now, her early 80s. But when she was 79 years old, she got two tattoos. One on her ankle and one on her left shoulder blade. And she said, I did this because Jesus began to deal with me about judging people with tattoos. She goes, so I am 79 and I got two of them. Now, if you're offended right now, you're a religious person and you need to stop being a hypocrite, okay? Because let me tell you something. We should not be judging people over some of the most mediocre, stupid stuff. That is stupid. What did she get? Love. And I belong to Jesus. Her husband got one too. He was 82. They got them from a very well-known tattoo artist that said, Joyce, whenever Jesus gets done dealing with you about judging people, I want to be the one that gives you a tattoo. Now, am I saying tattoos are right or wrong? You know what? I'm not saying anything about tattoos today. But what I'm saying is we have opportunities. How many people have you judged just by seeing they had a tattoo on their forehead? One of my best friends on the planet has a tattoo on her head. Keisha? I have never spent one day judging you over that. I have often thought about giving myself one that says, leave me alone. If you're offended, you need to stop being offended over dumb things because I'm going to say way worse than talking about tattoos and cigarettes. I'm going to talk about being judgmental, and that's the most offensive thing probably I've talked about in a long time. There is not a righteous man on earth who does what is right and never sins. Why did Jesus say that thing? He who is without sin, you throw the first stone. Why? Because you know what? There wasn't anybody. There wasn't anybody. There wasn't anybody. I can't stand when people get up and preach hellfire and brimstone because you know what? There's a place for that, but there's more of a place to say, you know what? Whatever the heck you're going through, you're going to make it. Not only are you going to make it, but Christ loves you. You know how many people feel unloved because they got a tattoo or they smoke or they've done whatever dumb thing? I've done some really stupid things in my life. Have y'all? I have. I will continue to do them probably. Amen. And you will too. Why? Because you're breathing. Do not pay attention to every word that people say. When you hear something bad about somebody, you shouldn't be paying attention to every bad thing that you hear about somebody. Or you may hear your servant cursing you. How many of you have ever walked into a room and you knew they were talking about you? Why should we not be doing that? That's coming back at us, however we dished it out. For you know in your heart that many times you yourself have cursed others. We know that many times when we've put ourselves in the same spot as Jesus, he's the only one that can judge. When we've put ourselves that high and we're judging people, we know ourselves that we have probably done the same thing that they've done. We need to keep it real. Keep it real. When you hear something bad about somebody, you're going to hear something bad about somebody probably this week. Here's what I would like to think you would do after hearing this message. When you hear that, dismiss it. Dismiss it. Do you know how many false things that people say about others? If I go up and tell Melissa something about Frank, trust me, I'll tell you lots of things about him. If I come up to you and I start smack talking on him, and let's say it's all lies, there's going to be a smidge part of you probably that's going to have a reservation about him. Mm-hmm. That could, everything I said isn't true, but I've put something inside of you that's going to treat him probably different just because you heard something nasty about him, right? How many have had people treat you badly and they don't even know you? Probably because somebody that was judging you said something bad about you to that person. We're keeping it real here today because we're all real people. Why are we preaching about this? Because this is stuff that people are still doing. That's why I'm preaching about it. Guess what next week's message is going to be? What do we do when we've been judged? Guess what week three is going to be? Gossip. So if you don't want to hear about those things, then guess what? You're going to have to skip the next three services because we're going to get down and we're going to get to the bottom of this stuff and we're going to be better people. Amen? For you know in your heart that many times you yourself have cursed others. You yourself have judged others. With the same measure you're judging, that same thing, that's going to be heaped on you. The same measure. Let's give away some t-shirts. I've said so many offensive things that I'm going to have to give away some things to make up for it. Dwayne, 2X. Here you go, Dwayne. Lori. Lori, don't get up, sister. Frank, run that to Miss Lori. I'm so glad you won something, Lori. You got that hip replacement. You deserve something good. Amen. Billy. Miss Billy. Billy is also such a blessing to us. She helps us every time we need help. There you go, Miss Billy. No, these are not rigged. No, I'm not giving these out to people that I know are judging people. Keisha. No doubt, Keisha's probably one of the least judgmental people that I know in my life. Amen. Paul. Do we have a Paul? Oh, I'm sorry, Paul. We do have a Paul. There you go, Paul. I hope you like purple. Heather Haney. Here you go. All right. Now, we're going to put all these names together. Now, if you go and say, boy, that Pastor Kelly, she was preaching about judgment today. Make sure you tell them that we also gave you T-shirts. These are people that have already won. So I'm going to leave those there. We're going to pick out who needs some therapy, free therapy. I got myself two of these, honey. Casey Ballard. Yes, I would say you need to break a few things. Here you go. Oh, Lucas, there ain't enough time in the service, sweetheart. Okay. He said, why does she need therapy? Casey, are you offended? Okay. Shannon Patterson. Here we go. Last verse for me today. 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 7 through 11. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. You're not clear-minded when you've got your mind full of what's going on with everybody else and judging them. Above all, so this is above everything that we do, above all, love each other deeply. So it's not just saying love each other, it's telling us how to love, saying love each other deeply. Because love covers over a multitude of sins. I've come under a lot of scrutiny over the past few years. Well, why don't you just tell it like it is? Why don't you just tell people what they did? You know why? Because love covers a multitude of sins. The blood of Christ covered a multitude of my sins. Love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, so if you open your mouth, if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Y'all stand to your feet. I've got some things over here. Every household can have an item off of here. There's several little goody things. I hope you leave with something. There's really not an altar call to give, because what would I say? If you're a judgmental person, stand up and get prayer. We're all standing. Okay? That's how I see it. We can all stand to love people more. We've all received the love of Christ. God, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your word that came forth today. God, I ask that you would cause it to grow. Lord, when we hear something negative about someone this week, God, I ask that you would make us doers of the word. Lord, make us doers of the word, and God, help us to love people. In Jesus' name, amen.